It's good to see each one out this evening. Be able to look at the Word of God together. If we turn, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 9. The book of Acts, chapter 9. It's getting close to our annual conference and what we call Good Friday. And hope to see some folks from Charlottetown, as we generally do at that conference. You're all warmly invited. I might mention, too, that Paul Robertson will be with us on that day, and also Wayne Gindin, so keep that in mind. Let's look at verse 26 of Acts chapter 9. Actually, we'll begin at verse 32. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwell at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was near to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and lifted her up. When he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Our Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight concerning this passage of Scripture. We thank thee for the power and the grace that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Father, though he be at thy right hand, yet we see acts of tremendous victory and change in the lives of men and women through the power and grace of Jesus Christ our Lord. We ask thee, Father, that you would speak to hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name, the power of Jesus' name. We often sing, all hail the power of Jesus' name, for there is tremendous power in that name. We read of Peter. He was visiting the saints along the Mediterranean. The believers had spread abroad all over the place. And wherever they went, they gathered. Wherever they went, they preached the word of God. And wherever they went, God blessed the word of God with salvation in the lives of men and women. And so we see this an itinerant type ministry. He was going among the churches, but he visits a divinely appointed visit to a man named Aeneas. We read in verse 32 that Aeneas was a palsied man. He was paralyzed. He was in his bed for 8 years without being able to rise. He was sick. He was paralyzed. This is a picture, I believe, of sin. And Aeneas, it does not say here, was a saved man. He was paralyzed and could do nothing for himself. And that is certainly true of an unsaved man. He is unable to save himself. He has no merit with which to say to God, because I am as good as you, God, I deserve to be where you are. I deserve to be in heaven. I deserve to be where Jesus Christ is, at thy right hand. Now, this man was sick and paralyzed, a picture of sin. And we see amazing grace here and gracious power. We read of Peter's declaration, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. What a wonderful thing. Jesus Christ giveth thee health. Even as your souls are healthy. John speaks in his little epistles. He was able to give him life and wholeness to make him healthy. I think of the Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, who healeth all thine iniquity. Speaking of the soul. And no doubt this was an actual physical healing. But I believe there is more in this passage. He was a man who had his sins forgiven, and he was made whole. The emphasis in this passage seems to be more the divine side. We don't read that he was presented some truth and responded to it from his heart. I'm not denying that that may have easily taken place. But the emphasis in the passage is not that, but rather the saving power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus makes thee whole. What a statement. And the power to back that statement is in the name of Jesus Christ. I think of another passage of Scripture. It says, thy sins be forgiven thee. It says there Jesus was responding to the faith of the men who took this man out and delivered him to him, brought him through a hole in the roof. And the Lord Jesus says, thy sins be forgiven thee. And here in this passage, the gracious, gracious words of our Lord Jesus Christ, of Peter, in the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. There is no other one. There is no other way. There is no other salvation. There is actually nothing else in this world that is praiseworthy when you compare to this wonderful passage of Scripture and the change that was made in Aeneas' life. Imagine a man 8 years in bed. Imagine a man paralyzed, unable to move. What a wonderful work of both grace, kindness, divine, unmerited kindness, and gracious power, the power to change a life. That is the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. My prayer for you tonight is that you know the power of Jesus Christ in your life. Christ Jesus makes thee whole, one of the old hymns says. What a great move was made here. I noticed something else here immediately. Salvation is in a nick of time, in a moment of time. Salvation itself. The Lord may deal with us for many years. He may deal with us for a lifetime. But the passing from death unto life takes place in a moment. It's like the rapture in that way. You are translated or raptured out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Just like that. In a moment of time, a man or a woman is saved. Immediately. And another thing it says, that it was a full healing. It was full healing. We declare salvation full and free and immediate. You may be saved tonight. You may be saved this moment. You may part from darkness to life just right now, as I say that very word. Salvation is a wonderful thing. Another thing that I love is the power of testimony. Generally, if a man or a woman receives Christ, a little circle about them are challenged with the gospel of Christ. And in the case of this man, Aeneas, in the case of this man, something very unusual happens as the word of what happened to him gets around. Notice what it says. Verse 35. All that dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him. These would be substantial cities, at least for that time. And all saw him and turned to the Lord. That is very unusual, even in the scripture. The very unusual. We see one saved here, we see one saved there. There is perhaps, even at this late date, and the Lord may come tonight, but, you know, there could be someone saved in this meeting tonight whose salvation would impact this whole city. Perhaps not only this city, maybe Summerside, or maybe Montague, or maybe Southport, or maybe Cornwall. Imagine such grace and power as happened at that moment. Something that was immediate and life-changing in Aeneas' life had an impact far larger than he himself. We're not told he preached a sermon. We are not told that he even gave his testimony. But his testimony was there. What was it? They saw him. That's him. That's Aeneas. That's Aeneas. That's him. The Bible says they turned. When I see the word turned in the scripture, I think of the word repentance. It wasn't a matter of simply one side of the coin, which, by the way, salvation is full and free to all those that believe. The other side of that coin is that men turn. There's a change of mind. A change of heart and a change of direction. The people turned to the Lord. Back in the 1870s, in my own community, they told me that there were along the southern coast, maybe there still is, maybe there is now again after those years, there were several pubs along the coast. I find that hard to believe. When I was young, There were a few stores along the coast, no pubs. The only place that you could legitimately get liquor was in Cardigan. In fact, people would perhaps make a long detour from East Baltic to there, or the bootleggers, one or the other. It lasted perhaps 100 years. Men's lives were changed. Their hearts were turned. But they weren't just turned to Peter. It doesn't say they were turned to Peter. I'm thankful for that. Some people speak of the Sea of Peter. It's not the Lord Jesus Christ they turned to in Joppa and Sharon. They turned to the Lord. They turned to the Lord. They turned away from what they were doing, and they turned to the Lord. That is a tremendous thing. Repentance. The bar is closed. I do not believe it was, although a very active time in temperance on the island. What had happened is a revival among believers in that area to the tune of over 100 professions of faith. And sometimes we can find that, professions, lots of professions of faith, of belief. But here there was a situation where men turned to the Lord and the saloons closed. I think of that. I hear of men going out, perhaps preaching on a certain weekend, they'll say there were 28 people saved. They say that very smartly. Where be they? Where be they? The places of sin closing. The gambling establishments of which our government exists. Are they closing out for lack of business in the life of men who could see the saving power of Christ and trusting Him? The brothels and the pubs. What a wonderful change. We read those words, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I peace my life for which long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart. All at Lydda and Sharon saw Aeneas and turned to the Lord. Maybe there's some soul here that has found less than a lot of satisfaction in life. There may be someone here tonight that has been struggling for years with an inability to ever conquer any kind of sin, who find that their life is just a paralytic weakness. Maybe that man or woman is in this room tonight. Maybe this passage of Scripture is just for you. They turned not to Peter. They didn't turn even to Aeneas, though they saw him. They turned to the Lord. It's a great thing to be partners with God and one another in the gospel of Jesus Christ and to turn to the Lord and find that common thing for all of us in Him. And who knows but that the next person that you would give a tract to or speak of the Lord Jesus Christ might be the very person that would bring change to total families, maybe to whole communities. We work as it were. We do not know, for example, what Billy Graham's Sunday school teacher's name was. Maybe you do. For this is not the first time I've heard this application or illustration. We don't know. But we're in part of a great work. There was one man in bed. You just imagine, not much he could do. But in God's hand, there was quite a change in that area. It was a tremendous movement of God's grace in that area. And I'm not going to speak tonight about a subject that perhaps comes up here, and that is, here is a tremendous act of healing. It is a fact, an act where one is given life. And a tremendous story once again. Another of those seaside cities, they are still there today, perhaps not the same names. But there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha. Name means gazelle or doe, a female deer, rather. She was a disciple, which means that the word means a learner. She was learning at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was learning with the other disciples, those that trusted in him. Now, Lord, a very exceptional thing which happened to her. Very exceptional. I wouldn't mind interviewing her. Some of those Christian talk shows, they would love to meet somebody like her. For in no less than in the Word of God do we read described what happened to her. The Bible says that she was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. She was good to the poor, that's what alms deeds mean, and full of good works. The Bible says she was a learner of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Good works came after, but she was just full of them. I think of a deer and the grace and the speed and the power. I remember they had some white deer, white-tailed deer, when my children were little down at that park in Murray River, King's Castle. And just watching the white tail disappear so gracefully over quite a high fence. I don't know if they got the deer back right away or even if he jumped from one fence to another, I don't know. But I could imagine this woman, full of grace, speedy, full of good works, a woman of some energy and using every last bit of energy she had in good works and kindness to the poor. She was also a learner of the Lord Jesus Christ, which meant that she was taking in as well as giving out. She was not a social gospeler. She was someone that was into the Word of God on one hand and into good works and alms deed on the other. She had her eyes on those that were hurting. And she is willing to do everything she had in her strength to do to alleviate their suffering and to bring joy to their lives. What a wonderful woman of God she was. And you can understand in verse 37, she was sick and died. That was a blow to that group of believers at Joppa. The gazelle, the one so full of energy and life and service, lying on a stretcher in an upper room, washed and ready for burial. Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there. They sent unto him two men, desiring that he would not delay to come to them. I don't know what they expected from Peter. Chances are they did not expect as great as they got. For it would seem that the scripture says that he is able to do, God and the Lord Jesus Christ are able to do far above anything we could ask or think. Far above anything we could ask or think. They said, Peter, come. Come. Peter was nearby. And without delay, they said, come. Come quickly. So Peter went with them. I often notice that even the Lord Jesus is so gracious when men would say, come, even if they were going to have him at a meal, a rascally old Pharisee or a Sadducee would be rascals. They'd invite him to a meal, and what would he do but go? One man called out his name, and Jesus stopped, all surrounded with people. But Peter had that same heart, and he went with them. He didn't say, well, you know, I'm very busy here, and there's not much I can do. He just went. He was come, and he did what he could. All the widows, verse 39, all the widows stood by him weeping. We often think, well, Christians should never weep at the death of those that bring them the gospel. They wept indeed, weeping and continuing to weep. They took the things of coats and garments that Dorcas had made while she was with them, while the gazelle was with them. They showed them to him. They wept. The widows, those that knew what it was to hurt, to be alone, to live a life of loneliness and sorrow. This woman, and what a woman she was, she ministered to them. Well, Peter did something. I do not understand some of the things that happened in the early church, or what would be on Peter's heart, or what the Lord told him, or the Holy Spirit, we're not told. But Peter puts them all out. He said, I need some moments alone with the gazelle. And he bowed down and he prayed and he turned himself to the body and said, Tabitha, arise. I think of Lazarus, come forth. Words of his Lord and Master. And now we see, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. Well, there is power in the preaching of the Word of God, in the proclaiming of the Word of God. It's interesting that when one person may speak on behalf of the name of Christ and say, come, you there. You there that have been putting this off for years. You there. Get up. And to that person, that is the command of the Lord. She opened her eyes. I believe that we must not either place at too low a level the preaching of the Word of God and the Gospel of Christ. For to some, it has such grace and power When she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, all the believers, what a time of joy this must have been. He presented her alive. She's alive. Said, was she really dead? The scripture says she died. The scripture says she opened her eyes. And the scripture says he presented her alive. The word of God is absolutely true. What we read here is indeed a genuine account. The scripture says, and again here we see again the power of testimony. These things change. So interesting, bad news travels fast. But you know, sometimes I have heard of strange places. Isn't he a religious fanatic? Didn't he get religion? Didn't she give up this or that? Even the unsaved passes along. You know, they're all hypocrites over there. I don't know what happened. It was known throughout all Joppa. And many believed in the Lord. I notice in the first case, all turned to the Lord. This is the other side, by the way, of the coin, isn't it? Many believed in the Lord. Many trusted in the Lord. Something the Lord uses always in salvation is his word. But also we see the power of testimony here. The change in a person's life. And what a change this was. Here is someone who was dead and now she's alive again. No doubt a temporary resurrection. No doubt her body lies still over in Palestine after these thousands of years. But for a time, she was brought back to life. And the result of this was that many believed in the Lord. Many trusted in the Lord. Again, the emphasis is not on the preacher. And in this case, the resurrector he could claim to have been. No. It is the Lord. It is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that is emphasized in this passage of Scripture. It came to pass that Peter tarried. He stayed many more days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. I believe that the Lord has the power to save. I believe that the miracles of Holy Scripture were absolutely authentic. They are not something the apostles twisted into some Christless, useless narrative of a man who simply went into a tomb and never came out, but rather a man who rose from the dead and whose name made the lame to walk and made the blind to see and made the dead to live. And I believe that in Jesus Christ, if you would turn to him, the Lord, and if you would believe on him, that he would give you eternal life. He would give you eternal life. That is my prayer for you tonight. We read these wonderful Acts. Acts is a book of action. May he give us, may the Lord bless the hearts of the saints of God and encourage them in their work for God. Wherever you be, wherever your place of work, wherever your family connections lead you, wherever your schooling may draw you, wherever you are, the Word of God, it could be the difference not only for one soul that might be saved, and indeed one soul would be worth it if we were to lead one soul to Christ in our whole lifetime, it would be glorious. But imagine if that one soul, in their testimony, by the name of Christ, could see a city saved, or see many believe. May God speak to our hearts tonight. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank thee for the salvation that we find in Jesus Christ and in the power of that name. We thank thee, Lord, that we have known his power in our own lives, hard-hearted, blind, careless, garish. Oh, Father, to think that you reached into our hearts and changed us. Oh, Father, we thank thee for this. And again, we pray if there would be one in our midst tonight that has been struggling with failure and paralysis, and even in some ways feels that their life is counts for nothing, that they are indeed dead whilst living. We pray, Father, that they might turn to Jesus Christ tonight in repentance and believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and would be saved. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if we, the preacher is a few minutes early, if we could sing a hymn. I wonder if we got enough folks here to sing "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name," number 8. Number 8. Is that it? No, I'd like number 10 if we could do it. You can't play number 10. Oh, dear me. Well, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a sweet name. It is a powerful name. Stand together and sing. Let's sing on our tiptoes. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth. Hail, hail, moon. tribe and Lord of all. You may be seated.